You never know who's going to stop by this show. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting ready for the NBA draft tomorrow. Mike and I are going to be down at State Farm Arena. A variety of guests are going to join us, and we'll get you ready for what could be a crazy night. I mean, not just for the Hawks, around the NBA, Mike, with multiple trades and deals. And Mike was just telling me there's a big Frenchman that we are linked to potentially. And again, all this is just rumor, but look, it's out there. And, you know, you were just saying, hey, is this a guy that could come over? All these guys are young, but could he come over and play?
Yeah, I was just seeing this article today, and it's about, it's spelled Joan, but it's pronounced John.
Okay.
But being French, I thought, well, maybe they named him after Joan of Arc. But anyway, it's John Berenguer Bellinger, 6'11", 234, but what makes it interesting, dude is only 18, so obviously a huge upside, so would we stash, draft and stash, would we get him over here? 7'4.5" wingspan on this dude. So basically he's built like a pterodactyl.
Yeah.
So just a name that's amongst others. I know we've had a lot of guys have said, hey, man, don't have to get all crazy. Ace and Newell's right here. But I'm just saying, there's bigger dudes. And, hey, the track record now of European players, they're more impactful earlier. You know, they just are. You know, Cooper Flagg will be that guy in this draft, but as far as an American-born, but there's not many.
I think going overseas, and we should all be over this now, especially if you've
watched. Yeah, there's no more stigma to this.
No, if you've watched the NBA over the last 20 years, I mean, this is where it's at. When Tony Parker, you know, and Manu Ginobili came over, everybody's like, what are the Spurs doing? And then everybody started doing exactly that.
Right.
I just feel like, yeah, Mike, if these guys, it's a worldwide game, and if they can play, you take a chance and you draft them. Listen, Richashay, how many of you guys had seen Richashay up until last year?
You know
year?
He was.
No. No,
and I get it. It was like, well, I know the naysayers, the glass half empty folks will go, well, of course, because of Wemby and then it's a Cooper Flagg. Well, guess what? You know, I mean, it is what it is. You do what you do. Also, real quick, just one name. A couple of guys said, you know, what about if we're looking for bigs? You know, you and I talked about Derek Queen yesterday.
Yes, Maryland.
What about the dude, Danny Wolf from Michigan? Big white boy from Michigan.
He's fundamentally sound.
Right. Also can hit the outside shot. Not the rim protector necessarily.
I that's an interesting guy, too. You're right about that because he helped Michigan in getting to the tournament, and I thought he played really well. I don't know, Mike. I haven't talked to anybody about an evaluation with him, but I liked what I saw.
Right.
But that's another big, you're right, that could potentially fill that role. You're talking about filling a role that we need.
Right.
And again, understand, we don't need a guy to come in here and score 30. That's not what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Okay?
And by the way, apparently, according to what the reports out there today, saying that Sixers looking to move the third pick.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. You're talking about potentially the second pick. With the Spurs being up for grabs.
Right.
The third overall pick with the Sixers being up for grabs. Is there a chance that the Hawks could move into the top 10, specifically the top 5, with the two picks giving up our top, you know, two first-rounders and additional moves, meaning future picks and maybe adding a couple of players? I'm not sure. But I'm sure they are investigating, Mike, if that's a possibility, because then that changes this draft for us.
Right. Now, a lot of guys ask, what about Kamon Malawach from Duke? By everything I've read, he's way gone.
Gone.
Unless we would try to...
At 13.
And if you took 13 and 22, does that get you into like the top 8? I don't think that's good enough. But that's a guy that I think a lot of folks say he's unfortunately long gone. Another guy would be very attractive in a Hawks uniform.
No doubt about it, guys. Coming up, we're going to talk to the voice, TV voice of the Atlanta Hawks.
The real Bob Rathbun.
The real. That's exactly right. He's going to join us coming up here in about 8 minutes. Stay right there right now. We got to talk about the NFL in 4th and 1. Well, let's start with Aaron Rodgers, shall we? Because he went on the Pat McAfee show and said this is going to be his last year. I don't believe him.
This is it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And look, it may be, but this has been the ongoing thing for the last 7 years when he was back in Green Bay. And, well, I don't know, this might be the last year. Comes back and plays. Wins an MVP. I don't know, I might not play. Comes back and wins another MVP. I think I'm done after this. Comes back and plays again. Then leaves. Mm-hmm. Gets hurt. And then we said, all right, well, is this going to be the last year with the Jets? Well, I don't know. He wanted to come back to the Jets. They didn't want him. So now, Mike, you go to Pittsburgh, and it's like, okay, this is the last year. I just don't believe it.
Apparently the bromance with Coach Tomlin, that was in effect, and he was always intent on being there. The owner of the Steelers did actually have it correct back in May when he said that he'll be there, and he was. He just wanted to wait till when he had to be there, which was the mandatory minicamp that was last week. But do they have enough firepower in that wide receiver room? You and I have talked about that. Are they going to – I don't think for the Steelers you acquiesce to bringing out every single retired Packers wide receiver to come out. I mean, is Jordy Nelson going to be a Steeler this year at age 48? But, I mean, that's kind of what the Jets had to do. that go get anybody that Aaron wanted from his Green Bay days.
Yeah, we will see, but that's what he said today, and it's making news headlines. Meanwhile, we told you about this yesterday. I just want you to hear the trailer. This is part of the Quarterback Season 2 trailer. It's going to be on Netflix. Again, it includes Kirk Cousins, Joe Burrow. Should be interesting, but this is the trailer for it.
That's my quarterback.
Let's go, baby!
And we found there's an opportunity that would be a longer commitment.
This one is over. Tap it out.
What? Were we surprised when the NFL draft happened?
Somebody tried to break into Joe Burrow's house.
Our backs are against the wall.
Turn it back on now.
He's fine, no cap!
That's what we're here for right here.
When the noise disappears, everything is falling right into place.
Let's go!
Now we're playing ball.
Hey, you like that?
This was a hard-earned Roy Rogers.
All right, so you heard that. You basically get the Kirk Cousins reaction going, what? They drafted Michael Penix Jr.? So that was one that certainly, as we learned subsequently to the draft, that he was blindsided by that decision.
They are saying, we've not seen an episode, but people who are getting leaked information are saying he's a big part of this Netflix Quarterback Season 2.
It's a hell of a lot of drama.
It is. The deal, though, is, Mike, none of that was playing out in front of us, right? So they've got these cameras following him around. It's all going on behind the scenes, and yet, you know, all of this stuff is playing out. I am interested. I told you guys yesterday, I'm going to watch. But I hope it is as juicy as, you know, some of these reports are about this being a big part of what this show is going to be. By the way, the other quarterback is Jared Goff.
Right. And look, you know me. I wish we could get Hard Knocks every year. I love the access. I think the camera doesn't lie. I think you see right into, you know, the warts and all, man. You see what the weakness is. You see if there's a personality deficiency. You see if there's a tactical issue with your play calling. It's all there. You can hear it. You can see it in the different teams that you watch. But it is interesting because this guy has said so many things, you know, and you know, we had a conversation with Steak yesterday about, I need to cut him. No, I don't need to cut him some slack. I understand a guy wants to give it his best. He wants to be out there on the field. And I do think this goes back to the organization. Some of this is on their shoulders because he was under the impression, part of the reason he came here was he thought he was going to have a green light for at least 2, maybe 3 years before there'd be somebody over his shoulder. And they didn't do that. So that goes back to, why did you do it? And this has nothing to do with Michael Penix Jr. because I like Michael Penix. I just think it was one or the other. And I would have preferred, and it wasn't even in hindsight, I would have been much more willing on a guy coming off an Achilles injury, Carl, to draft the young guy and take your lumps. But they were so, I think, I don't know, spooked or whatever you want to call it, and Arthur Blank says he was not meddling, that this was the coach wanted Cousins and the GM wanted Penix. So here we are.
Let me ask you this, though.
And that's from D-Led, by the way, about that dynamic. That's where I get that from.
And by the way, I do feel that way, too. I do. Look, I was spooked. We were in quarterback purgatory here. I mean, like, we act like we had studs after Matt Ryan.
2 years of horrible.
It was terrible. So I felt that way, too. But let me ask you this. What did they owe Kirk Cousins when they signed him a $100 million contract?
Just the money.
Nothing.
Just the money that's guaranteed.
And I don't want to be a jerk. Yeah. Sorry, Kirk. But I'm just telling you, like, this idea that he was established, that he was legendary here. Like, all of a sudden, there was this blood pack where they cut their wrist. I'm just saying, Mike, they didn't owe him anything. Yeah. None of these NFL teams owe these guys anything except the fact that here's your contract. Here it is. This is what we're paying you. That doesn't mean I'm not going to go draft another running back, Bijan.
But again, it was
Drake. It doesn't mean I'm going to go draft another wide receiver.
I'm not going to make excuses for Cousins, but he was he had options in other places he could have gone. His camp was of the opinion that wasn't going to happen here. So somebody at some level at this organization, according to Kirk, and I know he speaks out of both sides of his face, communicated that to him to the point, and I was homesick that night with COVID, but the night of the draft, it was relayed to me that Kirk was literally apoplectic when he found out that they were drafting a quarterback.
No, look, I who wouldn't be disappointed? I get that. That's a human element. What I'm saying to you is, Mike, if I pay you $100 million for your next contract to stay at 92.9 The Game, they don't owe you anything if they bring somebody else
if
in.
If they want to bring Dukes and Bell and Smith, knock it out. Fine by me if I'm getting paid.
Well, that's the deal.
But in this case, though, I just think that there's a combination of the ego, the expectations, and all of a sudden, the things that he was afraid of happening in Minnesota, that's why he wanted out, that he didn't. Now this has been thrust on him here. And that's what ultimately contributed to him playing it loose and fast with the facts on his health.
So
Kirk is a jerk.
That I agree with. That's why he was not willing to give it up, Stakey. 404-726-0929.
Hey, man, some little drips and drabs about haberdashery. More on the Falcons uniforms coming up in Guy Talk. Buccaneers going to go back with the creamsicles. Buccaneer Bruce, when we play the Buccaneers Week 15, that's a Thursday night Amazon game against us down there in Tampa Bay. Of course, last year they wore them in Week 8. We beat them 31-26. That was a game where A.J. Terrell made that amazing pick at the goal line.
Yeah.
And we also had the Jesse Bates strip. And fumble, and that helped him win that game.
Strip sack! Yeah. Oh, man, I can't wait.
And that was the second time Kirk was an offensive player of the week.
Yeah, that was strip a big game. Sack. That was a big game, man.
Picked it up!
All right, come on, give me
score! Score, that's what I'm talking about!
Well, that's all about this defense.
Mike, I like the creamsicles, though. I do.
I love those. When I was a kid down in Tampa visiting Nana, I always thought those were the coolest, you know, getting to meet Leroy Selman at Countryside Mall. But yes, I can't wait to hopefully we'll beat him again and have some bad luck in those throwbacks.
Hey, man, around the NFL, real quick, you want to create a rivalry? Well, it's already been there. But Caleb Williams, the quarterback of the Bears, talking about the Green Bay Packers, Mike, this is how you get things going. And his coach, by the way, his new head coach is already popping off. Ben Johnson. Mm. Has already been popping off. He comes from the Lions. He's been saying stuff about the Vikings. Like, that's going to be a really competitive division, I think. But this is Caleb Williams on the Packers.
Green Bay, I mean, they suck. But after the game, after we won at Lambeau, 1-0 at Lambeau right now. So obviously trying to do the Lambeau leap, and we actually tried to jump in the crowd where our fans were, and just, I mean, they start throwing everything at you, they push you off, and the Lambeau leap, it's a real leap. It's not a little baby jump. You actually have to high jump basically, and then you know they're pushing you, mushing your face. I mean, that was probably that. And then I had one today. I was actually in a car, and I got ran down for 6 blocks in the car. Yeah, that was fun.
He's talking about playing Green Bay. Obviously, Bears fans, he's talking to them. He starts out by saying Green Bay sucks, and he's telling you all these examples why.
Right. And look, we saw it at the draft, remember, as Clay Matthews comes out?
That's right.
I just got off the phone with the president. Everybody's like, right, you got to tell me Roger Goodell's sphincter could have probably pooped out a diamond at that point, right? And the news is Chicago sucks. That's right. That's the big rivalry, as we know. Hey, we'll get into this in depth later in the program, but there was a ruling from an arbitrator, and basically the Players Association and the league sat on it, and now we know Pablo Torre got the leak that basically the NFL was colluding to keep salaries down, specifically quarterbacks and Lamar Jackson. Remember you and I talked about it at the time when the Falcons made the announcement, we're not interested in Lamar Jackson. Who asked you? But it was, we said it smelled like collusion at the time.
Yeah.
And sounds like it sure enough was. At least the arbitrator thought it was. More on that coming up.
All right, man. Very fishy stuff. We're going to talk to the voice, the TV voice of our Atlanta Hawks.
I can't wait to talk to that idiot, Mike Bell.
Bob Rathman's going to join us guys next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We're getting ready for the NBA draft on Wednesday. Mike and I will be down at State Farm Arena. I want to bring on legendary Hawks broadcaster Bob Rathman joining us here on the show. He's also my counterpart on FanDuel Sports Network. He does a great job of calling these games with Dominique, the Hall of Famer. And Bob, it's good to have you on. It's been already craziness that has started around the NBA. Mike and I were just talking about another trade. The Pelicans just made a deal, and they are sending actually two, maybe make that three players, including McCollum, to the Wizards. And the Wizards are getting back former Hawks, Sadiq Bey, Jordan Poole. But the movement is real, and the NBA draft is always crazy. Talk to us about what you feel like our needs are, Bob, when it comes to our Hawks.
Well, I think one of the big things that we've got to determine is our own free agents. They'd love to bring back the guys that meant so much to us after those trades. You know, Larry Nance was injured, and we didn't get the full effect of how much he helped us down the stretch. I think that's a guy you'd like to bring back. We've got to get some depth in the middle for sure. And, you know, obviously the bench scoring is going to be something that has to be addressed. Now, I don't know whether we're going to do that in the draft tomorrow night. I think it'll be two young guys. So I think retaining our own vets is going to be number one. And then number two, let's see what Wednesday night brings. I think the movement that you're seeing in the NBA with Boston, Washington, these teams are diving under that second apron
yeah.
As fast as they can and trying to get some flexibility. It's so punitive when you got to pay the taxes that you got to pay as a repeater and a second apron team. I think a lot of these trades are signaling that these teams have got to cut salary. And of course, Boston dealing with that Tatum, I think, is one thing that has factored into their movement. But their tax bill and salary was going to be over $500 million. And you just can't operate that way.
And I'm with Bob on this one. Guys like Caris LeVert, you got to validate the DeAndre Hunter trade. You got to keep him because he's a nice piece. I think Nyang, we got another year with him.
Yeah.
Bob, what would you say about it, getting some size in the front court? We've been kind of harping on that. If we could get a guy in the draft and maybe you find a veteran, I presume that Capella's not coming back as a free agent, just kind of beef things up in the front court with a real rim protector.
Oh, 100%. And I think there are several guys that can do that. Ryan Kalkbrenner was a four-time Big East Defensive Player of the Year. He won the Naismith Defensive Player of the Year last year at Creighton. He certainly fills the bill. I know that a lot of the mocks have had Maxime Reynaud from Stanford as another guy, that a seven-footer that might be available in that 13 to 22 range. So those are a couple of names I think Hawks fans can keep their eye on. But it might be, Mike, more of the veteran that we can get our hands on. Who that would be, I'm not really sure. But you're right. We need girth. We need guys that can throw their weight around and get inside. You know, we need a Carl Duke.
Yeah, yeah.
Get in there and mix it up. You know, throw some bows. Let's go.
Lead in the dumper, Carl. That's what we need.
I completely agree. Yes. He is our TV voice, guys. Has been doing it a very long time. Bob Rathman joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He'll be down at the arena as well on Wednesday. I'm not sure what your duties are, but we know you'll be down there having some fun with us down there with the Hawks fans. I want to ask you about Trey. The general manager, Anse Saleh, came out yesterday, Bob, and said they're committed to Trey and him being a part of the future. And you just talked about, you know, what do you want to do with your veterans? What do you want to do with your own guys? I think that's a big decision too, right, with Trey and backing him in that way with the new general manager?
Well, Trey's got another year on his contract, and then for 26-27, it is a player option. So you have to look at it like he's going to be around for the next two seasons. That's a lot of money to kiss off. He could, I suppose, but this is year eight coming up.
Right.
And this has been a marriage that has been rocky at times. It has been great at times. But I think the one thing that Anse suggested yesterday was, this is our guy, and we are going to go forward with this group. I like our core. I do. When you've got Dyson and you've got Risa Shea, Jalen Johnson, if he comes back anywhere close to what he was and can give us 75-plus games, Onyeka, that's a pretty solid five. And as wide open as the East is, I think if you can augment it with that solid bench, with the shooting that you mentioned with Caris and getting Nance back and bolstering the middle, I think this team could do a little damage. We won 40 games the way it was. And I think certainly mid-40s to upper-40s with our group healthy,
right,
is certainly doable in a wide-open Eastern Conference.
Bob Rathman, the real Bob Rathman, guys, with us here on Dukes and Bell. Hear him on FanDuel. See him with our boy Neek as well. Bob, it just seems like, you know, an upper body injury is kind of a freak injury. If Jalen Johnson, I guess it gets chicken and the egg. If Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt, maybe they don't trade DeAndre. But can Jalen be an all-star?
Oh, he was on track. I mean, he was at 20, 10, and 5 when he got hurt. And he only played, what, 36 games last year? Something like that? There are only two guys, I think, in the league that averaged 20, 10, and 5 last season. And he would have been one of them. I think, what did he finish at, 19.5
yep.
points per game, something like that? But he had the rebounds, had the assists, and he does so much for us. You know, he can get the ball off the glass, and he can bring the ball up the floor. He can shoot from the outside. He can play inside. He can guard a wing. He can guard inside. So you take, and just to have another ball handler for Trey meant the world. And to take that away from your lineup and not have it really crushed our hopes and our efforts because we're just so shorthanded, you know, having to play Mo Gay and, you know, tough minutes down the stretch. You're trying to win a play-in game and you know, you're going with Don Barlow, and nothing against those guys, but they're not Jalen Johnson. You have him, man, everything changes.
Yeah, certainly does. Before we let you go, OKC crown champions, Bob, they're really good, and they have the potential to be good for a long time, don't they?
Oh, man. I think this is the next dynasty in a league of parity these days. But I think they're where Golden State was when the Steph, Klay Thompson teams got rolling. They've got so much youth on their side, and they're not going to be painted into a corner to have to pay people.
Right.
You know, if somebody doesn't work out, they got 100 first-round picks that they're ready to deal and ready to use to replace people. So they're not going to have to worry about, you know, second apron and long-term deals and keeping the bunch together. If some things don't work out, they can just bring in another group. So I think they are poised to have a major run in the Western Conference.
Bob, we know you got to go, man. We appreciate you stopping by, giving Hawks fans some input. Good to hear from you. Glad everything is going well, and we look forward to seeing what the Hawks do Wednesday night down at the arena as the draft is underway.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on, and I will see you tomorrow night.
Yes, sir.
Right on.
Bob Rathman, Jazz. And he's right about that. Mike, we hadn't really discussed it, I think, maybe at minimum, but that's the really first decision. You can't let these guys go after that DeAndre Hunter trade. You mentioned it.
No, I mean, Yang has one more year on his deal, but Caris LeVert, I mean, we liked him. Now, granted, he did drive me a little bit of crazy in some of the play-in games, but he was a really good piece, was reliable. You know, I mean, just that's – if you're going to move DeAndre Hunter, you got to keep some assets. It can't just be, no, you got nothing at the end of the day. The sum game is nothing. So the net is nothing. So I like it. He brings up a great point. We didn't really talk much about Nance because he was kind of out of sight, out of mind with the injury.
Larry Nance
so
Jr.
If you go get another, you know, a big in the draft, and he gave us a couple more names, a big Frenchman, you know, with a giant wingspan, you know, I think you could do a lot worse. And, you know, that's – and I just kind of feel even if he's 18, he's going to be better than a 19-year-old coming out of college. I mean, as far as ready to go.
Ready to play. Yeah, ready to play. Interesting stuff there. The trade thing, guys, and that's how the Hawks have to look at this. Like, when you are, you know, looking at your future and you say, who's going to be here in the next two and a half, 3 years, whatever it might be, I think these are three-year windows when you start talking about players. And, Mike, what's that look like?
Right.
Well, Trey still has time here. But that doesn't mean that you can't start to have an idea of where you want to go with this. Because the reality is, it's such a big decision when you talk about the money that's involved. You're going to have to know this. And if you don't already, right, if some people say, well, how do they not know? I'm not telling you they don't want to keep Trey. They know what the financial commitment is going to be. What the deal is he's got a player option.
Right, and he can scram. So, I mean, you know, again, LeBron just keeps, you know, those two-year deals, one-year deals, and he makes more money. Yeah. And that's sort of become in vogue in the last six or seven years in the NBA. But, you know, is Trey going to say, look, I can't win here. You guys aren't giving me what I need. As we say sometimes in our jobs, you know, on the radio business, give me the tools to succeed. Mm. You know, it's funny. I was talking about this at the gym the other day with Alex, who's a big listener. He's a big Hawks fan. And we got on the subject of, like, the Luka thing and what Luka's doing out in L.A.
Yeah.
And he said, what would happen if we just kept Luka? And I said, well, you know, it's funny because we used to get on Trey for his relationship with Nate. I said, Nate might have ran Luka out of here. I mean, Nate, to be honest, Nate, think about this. A guy that wants your players to play defense with Luka, the conditioning aspect of it, I mean, it might have been even more toxic for all we know. Might have even been quicker on the timeline than it turned out to be in Dallas.
Yeah.
Just off the top of my head.
No, that's a great point. And, you know, rumor is out there in L.A. Right. I don't know if he's training there overseas, but apparently, Mike, he's taking his physical fitness seriously this offseason. So we may see a different, instead of soft body Luka, as I like to say, we may see a better looking Luka when the season rolls around. But that's the rumor. But I agree with you because what Dallas did, even though it was crazy and you don't give up this, that, and the other, is they felt like he didn't have the commitment. And I think with the coaches we've had here, even Quinn Snyder, if he was here, I don't know if Quinn Snyder would have put up with that.
Nate wanted you to play some defense.
I agree.
You remember, we always play it. We didn't play defense.
We didn't play it. We played at a slow pace.
I'm not brought here to play defense, Coach Nate, okay? By the way, Mary Max Tea Room, big fan. See, that's the thing. Luka might have ate his sweat.
You know, for, out of town.
Bro, we know Luka's like, you know, Luka, why were you late for practice? Fat mats.
Love the ribs.
I like to walk around with Fox Brothers. Makes me look skinny.
Yeah, we'll never know,
right?
But we've got some hard decisions to make, and the draft is approaching, guys. Wednesday again, Mike and I'll be down at State Farm Arena. All right, coming up, we got Yeah Man, No Man. We got to get to some fun stuff, and we will. Also, coming up a little bit later on, more about the Braves. I know many of you are just tuning in. We don't have a closer, guys. Last night, Dylan Lee saved our cheese, and Ronald Acuna is carrying this team. If we can get just a little help from some guys in this lineup, this thing might look like we expected it to. We'll dive back into that. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lots of guys hitting us up. Follow Mike. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. Yeah. See Dukes and the radio shows. Dukes and Bell, 92.9. Follow the radio station, guys, at 92.9 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we will talk more about our Braves and some college football news that you need to hear about. Kind of interesting stuff when it comes to what's going on with the landscape of college football. Specifically, one college conference that I thought Mike was dead. Apparently, it's not. Mm. We'll get into that. Steve Kunin's comments, Hawks CEO, on picking the right guys, and more with Anse Salah, the general manager who spoke to the media yesterday, talking about the Hawks getting ready for the draft. Big deal. Movement around the NBA is going on as we speak. We'll keep you updated on all of that. But right now, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man.
All righty, guys. As we get ready for tomorrow night's NBA draft, well, we'll start off with some NBA talk. Maria Taylor, our very own Georgia grown, has been named NBC's lead NBA and WNBA studio host for next season. Real simple, yeah, man, no, man. Her departure from ESPN was probably the best move of her career.
Hands down.
Oh, big time. I mean, she's a rock star. Got to know her through David Pollock back in the day. And yeah, and she's got the charisma. She's got the juice. Matter of fact, rather hear her than Doris Burke.
She's it. And
she's got that charisma. She's got personality.
She does. She lives here.
Yep.
She went to Georgia.
Yep.
And now when you think about being the studio face of all the things that she's going to be a part of, next Olympics, the NBA, NFL, Sunday Night Football, she's a megastar. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that she made that decision. You know, sometimes those things aren't easy. People come all the time. They have a decision to stay or go, and you go, it's easier. I'm just going to stay. It opened up all of this. And by the way, the changing landscape, Mike, of where sports is, that's the other part of this. When she left, we didn't know all this was going to happen.
Right.
Like, the NBA was still on TNT. We didn't know all of this stuff was going to transpire. But I love it for her, and I hope it opens up other doors for other women who want to pursue in her footsteps, you know, and follow in her footsteps. Because, again, a woman of color being one of the leads like this is a big deal.
Mm. Yeah, and that's one of the things she did talk about, to your point, Carl, in the article, that she said, you know, it was tough to make that decision to leave. It wasn't like that she was asked to go or anything. She just kind of reflected. Yeah, and she reflected, like, she reflected on when she was originally asked, you know, kind of while she was in college, what she wanted to do with her life, where she wanted to be. And, you know, she just kind of went back to that and said, okay, I'm here, but is that all I want? So good for her, man. Obviously, it's always great when someone from the home state is winning like that. All right, next up, an article I saw today says that colleges in general are going to raise student fees, including athletic fees, to help funding with the athletic revenue sharing. Great. Yeah, man, no, man. Students should have to suck it up, even if they don't want to pay these student athletes.
Oh. Well, you know, the money's got to come out of somewhere. You know, getting the blood out of a stone. I mean, you're going to get it from somewhere. I mean, the boosters and the alumni, that's generally where you're going to get it. You know, that's where the money comes from. I mean, you know, if your program, if you're Georgia, and, you know, you're paying what I'm paying for a really bad product in Tallahassee, you know, at least you're getting a return on your investment, Carl. And that is the price of doing business in 2025. But now what do you say? So student tickets won't be, like, as cheap or free for students?
Well, you know how you have your student athletic fees? Like, so if you want to use the athletic center,
yeah,
you know,
gym,
or,
right,
you know, yeah, like you said, to some events
it's,
you may be able to get free.
It's usually line 15 if you read down what it includes.
Right, and it's like, you know, maybe you don't, it's that $300. You really,
exactly.
You see it, but you don't really realize it's there. So that $300 could possibly go to $400 or $500, you know, depending on your school. And it's probably, you know, I'm guessing based off its total population. So, yeah, basically the everyday student is going to, at some program or some colleges are going to be paying the cost for this revenue share.
So I think it's twofold, right? One, use Georgia, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Before they were winning like they're winning now, right? Their student fees were not at the level in which they are.
Right.
But once they started to win like this with Kirby, those student fees went up. Mm-hmm. Admissions went up. Mm-hmm. It's already a hard school to get into academically, But then when you start adding this on, it's another burden for a lot of parents and people who are trying to pay their own way or whatever the circumstances might be. But I also think, like, this is a function of if your program is really good.
Right.
Right? Mm. So if you're not, it's hard for me to look at that line 15, because I know, trust me, and I'm going, what's this $500 for? And they're like, oh, that's the student fees. For what? Oh, so she can go to the gym and she can go here. Right. And you're like, oh, but yeah, but they won four games last year. Like, right? Right? Seriously. So as you win and I think your program gets more established, right, I do believe that it's easier for these schools and conferences to say up, 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 up.
Right.
And
right,
students accept it and parents accept it. Why? Well, I want my kid to go to Auburn.
Right.
I want my kid to go to Alabama. So you're willing to pay that extra. Mm. And when your conference and your schools are winning national championships, it's all good and everybody wins. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Trust me, I've seen that fee.
Father of Kentucky.
I've seen that fee.
Yeah, and the article actually referenced exactly what you said, Carl. Basically, like, you know, if you're a student that's highly vested in your programs, your athletics, then you're probably not going to care. But nope. Then, you know, not to throw shade in any form because my wife would kill me at Georgia Tech. But let's be real. A lot of their student population is not necessarily super big on athletics. So some of them may not even care.
They don't
want
to pay the extra.
Exactly. Yeah. So good stuff there on that. And then finally, guys, you know, as we get older, in our lives, we kind of tend to pay more attention to our health, especially us as men, right? So, you know, I've been trying to curtail. I've been telling Dom about my different ways of eating and things of that nature. Last night, get home, slice me up some nice rotisserie chicken, eat a salad. And as I'm looking for the cheese,
where'd this rotisserie chicken come from?
You know, that's a whole nother story.
I mean, from Publix?
Kroger? No. It actually was Kroger, but I say it's a whole nother story because I told my wife, don't ever buy their rotisserie again.
And then you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm looking for the cheese to put on my salad, and I find a large pack of chocolate chip cookies that need to be baked. So as I proceed
like Pillsbury?
Yeah. So I proceed to eat my salad and my rotisserie chicken for my health, but then I decide to go ahead and bake 12 large chocolate chip cookies. Yeah, man, and no, man. Oh. And when it comes to fresh baked desserts, chocolate chip cookies are top three.
I'll jump in here. I've lost 35 pounds, and I'm trying to keep it off, and the only sugar in my diet is Maker's Mark. That's it. That's basically it. The only sugar is wine and Maker's Mark, because chocolate, I could eat a bag of that. I could eat the dough. What do you need to put in the oven? I literally just mainline that dough, Carl, right there. I got a sweet tooth a mile long. Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah, man. It's my downfall.
When I first dinner I had with this guy.
It's my downfall.
We were at The Mix in Vegas, Alain Ducasse.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the greatest meals we had.
It's a good meal.
And we got this chocolate tower thing that was just people taking pictures of it.
It's ridiculous.
And me and him basically ate half of it.
I love chocolate chip cookies. You're right. Yes. Top three. My wife's mom makes amazing chocolate chip cookies. Matter of fact, funny you bring this up. I literally told her the other day, I was like, why don't you call your mom and tell her to send her some of them cookies?
Right.
I don't know what she does. I don't know. But they're really good. Point is, man, I've been there. And you're trying to eat healthy, yeah, and you're trying to do the right thing, and you're like, I don't only have one. One turns into two. You try to put them away. You know where you put them.
Yeah.
So you go back to them.
Yes.
It's almost impossible. But, man, look, I feel for you on that, because that I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, and I'm thinking, okay, my kids will probably eat most of these.
Yeah,
right.
And
by the way,
and I do.
And you take it, man. You know what? You to put the work in. You baked it. Okay, granted, it's pretty easy.
Just put them in the oven. 3 pieces
of tinfoil. By the way, what's your ice cream go to? Baskin Robbins. If you're 31 flavors, or a place that's got multiple flavors.
I love strawberry ice cream because I love when they put, especially the kind where they put the actual strawberries in, like, you know, and it's not just flavored. I'm a strawberry ice cream guy all day.
Right. Yeah, that's good. But look, yeah. I've said this on the show numerous times, custard. I love custard. If I'm just eating ice cream, I just want a vanilla with like mix of something.
Right.
My daughter's
got, but my daughter's got me on this cookie dough, and I really wasn't a cookie dough person. Mm. She loves cookie dough, and I'm like, but now I'm kind of digging it. But all these different flavors now, to Mike's point, I kind of like going and just buying something, but they're so damn expensive. Yeah. A pint of ice cream now is like $8.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing?
When I used to live down the street, the place has changed names like three times. It used to be called the Bennington Car. It was down on Beach Street.
Yes.
Baskin and Robbins was in that strip mall. Where Steve Shimada's got a bar right over there. And so, I mean, I could walk. I just walk across Beach Street. Doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm like Will Ferrell at Old School, just pushing kids out of the way.
Do you guys remember when Baskin-Robbins, I remember when I was a kid, I don't know if they have this flavor anymore. Do you remember when they came out with the bubblegum flavor that actually had bubblegum in it?
Oh, no, I didn't. My sister never got that.
I was a quarterback crunch man. That's the vanilla. It's got like... It's got like chocolate covered Rice Krispies with like caramel in it.
Okay.
And they called that quarterback crunch. That was when I was a little kid.
But I also love pistachio too. Not a lot of people carry it.
Now, another one for me that's not like a fruity flavor is praline pecan.
That's good too.
I love that one.
That's good too.
That's a good one. All right, guys, that's all I got for you. Yeah, man, no, man, for a Tuesday.
Are you one of these people that goes in these ice cream shops and can I get a sample of that?
No,
and you sample everything? Are you one of those people?
No.
I've seen people do. You know, it was funny. We were in Sonoy when my cousin was in town with my nephew. Same, yes. The lady, can I just try some of it?
You know, everything.
Like, lady.
I saw a lady do this in Marietta at the ice cream shop. Mm. We were in Marietta Square. And literally, they just opened, I think it's a Ginny's.
Yeah.
And they do a great job. And the lady was in there literally like, can I just try that? And I was like, okay, she's going to try one. Okay, what about the one behind it? And I'm like, okay, she's going to try two. She tried three, and I was like, okay, she's not going to try another one. You know what? What's the purple? She just kept trying, and you know they got the little plastic spoons.
Let's go while we're young.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I said, why don't you just try everyone in here?
Yeah, that's like the person in the drive-thru at McDonald's that just didn't have their order ready. You just want to just choke those people.
Oh, that ain't good stuff, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, man. We got to come back, and we will. Thanks to Bob Rathman for joining us.
Bunch of guys hitting us up on the text line. Got a real kick out of talking to Bob Rathman. And so, Carl, one guy just said, Carl was the peacemaker, bringing Bob and Mike together. No, it was always, I think Bob always knew we were having fun.
Yeah, no.
It's out of love, man. It's a fun voice to do. But Bob basically agreeing with us about the big man in the front court, bringing up the Nance thing, also talking about, you know, some of the issues that, you know, this team can be addressed through free agency and or Bob's of the opinion we're going to use those picks, not just get rid of them.
Yeah. And if we do, by the way, just because I'll say this, if we do use them, it doesn't mean they won't trade them either. You can pick guys for other teams. We've seen this happen, Mike. And then ultimately, those guys ultimately get traded. It happens draft night all the time. But yeah, we'll see what happens. A lot of stuff to take place tomorrow night during the draft. And we're all over it right here for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, we're coming back. Some college football conversation. More on the Braves. What is going on with this closer situation? Iglesias comes in last night, two outs. You're like, okay, he's going to handle this. And then all of a sudden, things got dicey in the eighth inning. And here comes Dylan Lee to save the day. He did a terrific job and closed the game for us. Acuña's on fire. And the Mets right now are struggling. This is a good time for us to be playing the Mets. We've won four in a row against this Mets team. But the lead is still double digits. We'll get into more of that coming up in the 4 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.